1 Corinthians chapter 12. And again, just as an explanation here, I'm not going to eliminate the first part of chapter 11, so just be patient with me. I'll get back to it. Chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we continue to have questions answered by the apostle that the church had written to him. And this chapter, chapter 12, has to do with starting out with the spiritual gifts and ending with that as well. And in between is some teaching in regard to the body. And before I get into the gifts, I'm going to go into the middle of the chapter, and I'm going to read that, those verses today, and that's what I'm going to expound on today. And then it'll set the stage for my next message in regard to the gifts. Once we understand, at least for me, it was once I understood this whole thing about body, that helped me then become more settled in understanding the expression of the spiritual gifts. And so I want to start reading in verse 12 of chapter 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are there many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. I'll stop reading there. In verse 12, the analogy is made of our physical body. And it's talking about two different bodies here. It's talking about our physical bodies used to describe the body of Christ. And when we talk about the body of Christ, when I speak about the body of Christ, I'm speaking about the church. The church is the body of Christ. And within the church, within the body of Christ, are many individuals. And so all of us as believers, every believer upon the face of the earth comprises the body of Christ. In other words, every believer that is born again upon the face of the earth is a member of the body of Christ. And it's this body of Christ various places in the scriptures that we read about this body of Christ expressing itself, or work that it's going to do, or things that's going to happen, or this, it talks about saints and the saints coming up out of the ground first at the second coming of Christ and those type of things. That's what I'm referring to. I'm referring to this body of Christ as believers, as everyone upon the face of the earth. Yet, within this body of Christ are individuals just exactly like you and I here today. Just like you and me today, we are individuals in this body of Christ. And this scripture, the context of this scripture is, then this local body of Christ that I can actually speak to, I can speak to you, I can touch you. This local body of Christ is not just out here floating around with nothing. God has this whole thing all planned out, that this whole body is complete. You know, that's why the scriptures go through here and talk about the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and the smelling. I mean, this body, God has designed that this body is absolutely complete. Now, I'm not saying that in this brotherhood, every gift that we're going to look at in my next message, I'm sorry, but I need some water. In my next message, we're going to look at what these gifts are, and I'll make more statements about that. So that's what verse 12 is saying. Verse 12 is saying, "For as the body is one and hath many members, many organs, and all the members of that one body being many are one body." So it is saying that there are members that we have in our physical body. You can see some of my members. You can see that I have eyes. You can see that I have ears. You can see that I have a nose that I can smell. You can see that I have hands and feet. You can see that I have legs. You can see a lot of my physical body. But there's also a lot of my physical body that you can't see. You cannot see that I have a heart. You know I have one, or I wouldn't be alive. But you can't see it. Thank you. You can't see it. And I'm just saying, brothers, that there are, as we go through here, let's pay attention to how God has made this body here complete in Him. We are complete in Christ. And it's not about, let's just go on through here. Verse 13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Now, this body of Christ is a spiritual body. That's why the Spirit is brought in here. The word Spirit here is brought in because we are a spiritual body. In other words, what I'm saying is God's Holy Spirit, whenever anyone is born again, I don't care where upon the face of the earth it is, one of the things that happen when a person becomes born again is God's Spirit takes up residence inside that person. That person may not understand how this all works. I didn't understand how this all works. But I do know that when I became born again, God's Spirit became part of me. And then what God's Spirit does, as we have got, all believers have God's Spirit, what then God's Spirit does is God's Spirit within us makes it possible for us to understand the things of God. And not only the things, when I say the things of God, the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to understand, or the Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to experience Christ, is what I want to say. See, the scriptures, and we have it right here in our Sunday school lesson this morning. We said, "Now there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." So when we became born again, that's one of the things that we had nothing to do with. It was simply because we believed certain things. Then about the scriptures, about ourselves, there's a work of God that God's Spirit became part of me. I did not have to ask that God for that to happen. When God came into my inner being, that means that God did not leave the Holy Spirit outside, because God, Christ, the Holy Spirit are all one being, and they're in me. But the Holy Spirit then makes it possible for us to understand the work of Christ in our hearts. That's one of the beautiful things about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes it possible for us to understand. And that's what verse 13 is talking about. For us as believers, we are a spiritual being. We have a spiritual relationship, because we have, all of us that are born again here today, have the one and self-same Holy Spirit that lives within us. And you know, it's kind of like a friend of mine had a girl that came to him and said, "I have a problem." And she said, "Will you help me with my problem?" She said, "I can be with girls from church. All the girls look alike. All the girls look alike. They're not dressed immodestly. They're wearing coverings. They're just part of," this was an Anabaptist church. And they said, "But," she says, "anytime we go into the public, boys whistle at me." And she said, "Why do boys whistle at me?" "They'll walk by and they'll pick out this one girl and they'll say, woo, woo, you know, and they'll just," and she got sick and tired of this. And she said, "What's about me that causes this to happen?" So he wisely went and had this girl just write down her story. And she had, if I remember right, 7 pages of legal paper that she wrote out her story. And in this story, there were some things that had taken place in her life that were not good. And she had not realized what kind of an impact this had left on her, but there was something about her spirit. There was something about her spirit that connected with the spirit of those boys that whistled at her. And you know what? They went and prayed through that, renounced that, and that was the end of boys listening at that girl. And the reason for telling you this story is because this is exactly what happens on the other side. There have been times I have been in a public place and somebody comes walking by. We have a UPS man. He walks in, and the first time he walked in there, in my mind I was saying, this man's a believer. I asked him, "What's your name?" And he said, "Patrick." Every time he comes, I say, "Patrick, I am so glad to see you again today." And I'm just saying, this is the relationship that we have as brothers. We have the same spirit, the same Holy Spirit that resides in each one of us here today is one of the reasons that we can be one body. Do you understand that? We're not individuals floating around out here some way trying to be a part of this church. We are believers that have the same Holy Spirit within each one of us, and that Holy Spirit is what makes that we can have a good sense of each other, that we understand each other, that we can talk to each other, and all of these things come out of this Spirit that unites us and brings us together. And, you know, there's two words that are used here. One of them is baptized into one body. And the word baptized always has the connotation of identification. So we have the very same identification seal as believers among each other here. It's the Holy Spirit. And we also, it says drink. It also uses the word drink, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. And you know, there's an interesting verse that Jesus quoted in John 7. This is what he said. In the last day, John 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Then in parentheses it says, "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe in him should receive, for the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." In other words, what Jesus was saying is this river that is going to gush out of you is the very presence of the Holy Spirit, is the very presence of God's Spirit. We're going to be filled with God's Spirit. When Jesus ascended into heaven, he said, right in this verse, the Holy Spirit is not going to come until I ascend. And if you remember, 40 days after Jesus ascended, we have the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came down and baptized for the first time all those believers that were together in Jerusalem. And it's very important for us to understand we've all been made to drink into one spirit. And in those verses in John 7 there says, that means that Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. How do we drink of Jesus? Exactly what this verse says. We've all been made to drink into one spirit. Into one spirit. In other words, God's spirit. When I take, what happens when I drink some water? What happens when I drink some water? I take and I drink water. It goes into my inner being. It refreshes me. It hydrates me. It makes that my body organs continue to function. You know, if you want to die, all you have to do is quit drinking water. It's to not drink water. And your body will start dying within 3 days. Within 3 days. You can go a long time without food, but not water. Not water. Within 3 days, your body will start dehydrating. And your organs will start shutting down if you don't have water. And that's why the scriptures come back and say that we all drink of the same spirit. So, brothers, the reason I jumped into the middle of chapter 12 is because these are important things to understand when we talk about the gifts. If we don't understand these principles right here, we will not understand the gifts accurately. Because we are a body. We are not individuals. We are not individuals. It is the Spirit of God that makes it possible for all believers to be identified together into Christ's body. Stop and think about that. That is very, very important for us to remember. Verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. For the body is not one member, but many. And this, as simple as that sounds, I want to tell you something, brothers. There's no one here that is the complete body of Christ. I don't care how low you put yourself or how high you put yourself. There's no one here. And I'm going to talk more about this. But this verse it's significant that this verse comes in here in verse 14. For the body is not one member. How could I hit a ball if everything I was toes? Think about it. Verses 15 through 17 talk about if the foot shall say this, if the hand shall say this, the eye say this. There's just a few things that I want to say about those verses. One of them I want to say is many members, but one body. Many organs, but one body. Many members, but one body. I want that to soak in, that we are one body. We have hands and feet, and some of us are totally invisible. Some of us, we can't see everything that you're doing. You may not be the hand or the foot. You may be a toe that's inside the shoe, but guess what? Remember why they cut the big toe off as a punishment in the Old Testament? Remember they caught all those men and cut their big toes off and they let them go. You know what? Those men couldn't even walk because they couldn't balance themselves, because the big toe is what balances. It's cruel to do that. It's a very cruel punishment to cut off the big toes. But that's what they did. Maybe you're a toe that brings balance to this brotherhood. We don't see you. You're inside a shoe. You're inside a shoe. Something else that I notice here is each member is significant. Now, what I mean by when something is significant, it's important. Like gas is significant in an automobile, because if you don't have gas, you can't go down the road. It's important. That's what that word means. Significant means important. But yet, think about this. Yet, each member is incomplete. Each member is significant, but each member is incomplete. Think about it. Also, we notice here that each member is unique. There is not two of us alike. Each member is unique, yet all are equal in value. Isn't that interesting? Each member is unique, yet all are equal in value. So, John, I can't say, John, you're insignificant here, we don't need you. I can't say that, because every brother and sister that's here today makes this body complete. Makes this body complete. Every member is unique, but every member, but all are equal in value. And I said, each member loses its independence. So Dan cannot say, look, because I'm the eye and I can see everything that you're doing, that has nothing to do with being complete. If Dan was a whole all eye, he couldn't hear anything. He couldn't hear anything. Each member loses its independence, and then this enables all the other members to do their part. See, when we lose our own independence, if we can just lose that, if we can just lose this thing of how important I am to this brotherhood, if I can just lose that, because we're going to talk about what this whole body is for. And that's what verses 15 through 17 are saying. Each member loses its independence, thus enabling all the other members to develop in a manner that honors and pleases God and benefits the brotherhood. Can we just remember these important facts? Can we just remember these important facts? Verse 18 says, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, the body, as it has pleased him. Have you ever wondered, have you ever thought about the wisdom of having the nose at the top of the body instead of at the bottom? What would happen if we would smell down there in the bottom? What would happen? If we smelled all the way down here 6 inches from our ankle, what would happen? That's not my point. What else, Aaron? What's down there when you walk? That's where all the dirt and dust is. Yeah. Can you imagine everything that you'd be sucking in if your nose was 6 inches from your ankle? I mean, you walk through the grass. You walk on playgrounds. Any place you go. Can you imagine what kind of filter system God would have had to put in your nose to make that you can even live? So what I'm saying is God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. Now, just to get a picture of what this is, I'm going to take you back to the scripture where the word set is used for the very first time. And this is what it got, this is what it says in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. Listen to this. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. Okay, now have you thought about the sun and the moon? The purpose for these is, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. Then it says, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Now this verse, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So here we have all oohed and awed about the beauty of creation, have we not? We have all experienced scenes of nature where we're at a waterfalls. And have you ever stood at a waterfalls where there's millions of gallons of water that come over that falls every hour? And you say, where does this water all come from? That 24/7, 365 and one-third days a year, every minute, every second, this water just flows over this falls and it just keeps on coming. Where does this water all come from? And it's not nearly the only falls. Think about all the rivers. And think about, and I have stood on a small creek and I have said, where does all this water come from? It's because God has set an order. God has set an order. So, the other day, just last week, we had the longest day of the year. Now, the longest day of the year is not necessarily related to the sun, although you notice that right now the sun is way to the north, and right now when the sun comes up in the east, it's way to the north, and we actually have light. The sun shines in our north window in the right during the longest day periods of the summer. And the reason for that is not necessarily for the sun. The reason for that is because the way the earth is tilted. And right now, just last week, we had the longest day of the year, and the earth was tilted in a manner that made that we have the longest days. If you go further north, you'll see they barely have night. But the opposite is true in the wintertime. When the earth is tilted the other way, they have just a couple hours of daylight in the north, and the rest is all dark. The rest is all dark. Why? Because God hath set. In other words, this is what the word set means. The word set means to, the word set means to apply, assign, or appoint. Now, when this scripture talks about God setting the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. So God is saying, John, I want you to apply yourself in this way. Dan, I want you to apply yourself in this way. Karen, I want you to apply yourself in this way. And all of us as a body have something that we are to apply ourselves to make that it gets done. To make that it gets done. That's what the word set means. And God is the one that has chosen this whole thing. God has said, okay, Irvin, you're this. And again, I'll talk about that later. And you apply yourself to this. And that's how we have this whole thing complete. That's how we have this whole thing complete. It's because God has set. And sometimes we really have issues with each other. And we forget that God has set every one of the members in their place as it has pleased him. Brothers, this is things we can't forget. You know, we have church splits because we forget that God has set the members, every one of them in the body it is, has pleased him. We forget that. We forget that. We cannot forget that. We cannot forget that. It is very important that we remember that God is the one that has set the members in their respective places. Verses 19 through 24 talk about what I was mentioning earlier, that it is not about one member. I want us to think, yeah, there are bodily members and organs that we can do without. They're bodily members and organs that we can do without. I have a friend that was riding a pony, and the pony bucked him off, and he fell. And when he fell, he hit an object right here on his side, and it ruptured his spleen. And guess what? He went to the hospital, and they took his spleen out. You can live without a spleen. But you know what? Every organ has a unique property to fulfill in your body. God didn't just make extra parts for no reason. God didn't do that. They all have a function. And verses 19 through 24 talk about the parts of the body that are visible and the parts of the body that are not visible. And you know, sometimes it's like another story that I was reading. A church had experienced blessings, and they didn't really understand the degree of these blessings until an old lady sitting back there died. And they discovered that was that old lady's prayers that was sitting back there, that she kept praying for the children. She kept praying for the youth. She kept praying for the new babies. She kept praying for the new parents. She kept praying for the pastor. She kept praying. After she passed, there was a big hole in that congregation. She was one of those invisible organs that you didn't pay attention to. But that's God's plan. That's how God sets people in order. And that's how the body gets complete. And I'll guarantee you there are people in this brotherhood here today that are that old lady. There are people in this brotherhood here today that spend a lot of time praying for this brotherhood. As we go into verse 25, it says that there should be no division, but that members should have the same care one for another. And you know, I don't know how you look at the same care, but when I make a statement that says, I said, each member is unique, but I said, all members are equal. All members are equal. And when we have this phrase here, that there should be no divisions in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. I want to tell you, I have personally been cared for by some of you. Some of you have no idea how much you've cared, how much I know that you've cared for me. And that's what all of us need to feel in this brotherhood. See, if we feel that no one cares in this brotherhood, that's quite a deplorable state to be in. Once people feel that no one cares, you really are alone. And I just want to encourage us. We, all of us here today, need care. I need care. You have cared for me because I can't do it in my own. I can't. I don't even want to. All of us need each other's care. I don't know what that does for you, but you know what? When I start talking about the gifts and the manifestation of those gifts, if we don't understand how to care for each other, those gifts become a very selfish thing. And we can't be there. We cannot go there. Verse 27 wraps this thing up. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. That's exactly what I was teaching here in the first part here today, where I said, ye are the body of Christ. All believers comprise the body of Christ. But we are members in particular. Every one of us here today are individuals in that body that God cares about. In summary, I just want to say this. Brothers, this message was quite emotional when I was studying for this yesterday. And I want us to develop a lifestyle of blessing each other. You know what's a lifestyle? A lifestyle is something that you do almost automatically. It's something that you do almost without thinking a lot about it. And brothers, it is extremely critical for us in this brotherhood that we have a lifestyle of blessing each other. And that blessing must come from a grateful heart for our brothers and sisters. And that grateful heart needs to be rooted in the mystery of love that Albert was teaching us about last Sunday. It must be rooted in the mystery of love. And you know what? If we don't understand this mystery of love that is to flow among each other, it is this mystery of love that causes me to have a deep care for you. And you do that for me. And you know, it is not about working hard to love my brother. It is not about really putting forth effort to be a blessing to my brother or to bless him. It is about the Spirit of God in me to the extent that out of my inner being comes a deep love and appreciation for my brothers. And I place great value on my brothers. And you're going to see in some of my next messages how opposite we are. Some of us are very opposite. But you know what? That's what makes this brotherhood complete. We have to realize that. We have to realize that. If we don't understand that in our heart, and if it's not God who puts together this whole thing in our heart, that out of my inner being flows these rivers of living water, which is the Spirit of God connecting with your spirit and our spirits together, uniting with Christ's spirit. I want us to think about the reality of God setting each one of us as brothers and sisters in this congregation in a manner that has pleased Him. God did that setting, not me, not you. God did that setting because He has this overall view. He has this drone that He's looking down on Topeka Christian Assembly, and He's seeing all of us here. And He says, we need this person. We need this person. And He has this drone, and He's going all over, and He knows He can see our hearts. And God looking for completeness. God's looking for beauty. God's looking for a brotherhood that under all circumstances works together. Something else that I notice in the word setting is the word set. So God has set the members, every one of them in the body, it has pleased Him. You know, there's something that must happen, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about that when I talk about the gifts. But you know, every individual must cooperate with this setting. What if the moon would say, God, no way, I'm not nearly as bright as the sun. I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm the sun. That's not the argument that the sun and moon had. When God made the sun, He said, you're the brighter light. When God made the moon, He said, you're the lesser light. You're going to rule night, and He's going to rule in the daytime. And you know what? That's what it takes from each one of us. You know, it's been very interesting for me to watch Aaron come up here and teach Sunday school. It's very interesting for me to watch Mark come up here and teach Sunday school and what happens out of those exercises. It's been very interesting for me to observe that. I haven't talked about it. I may sometime later. And one of the other things that I see in these scriptures, that all members' organs are intended to serve each other. Stop and think about it, brothers. It's not about me being a heart. It's not about me being a stomach. You know what? If you didn't have a stomach, you couldn't live. You would die if you didn't have a stomach, because that's where everything happens with the food you eat. It goes in your stomach. That's where the digestion starts. It makes it you have energy. It makes it you have oxygen. It makes all this kind of thing. God has this unique way of making it part of your blood system, and it makes nutrients for your muscles and bones, and that's all part of God's design for the body. But it's not about you. It's about each other. It's about each other. Brothers, these are things that we must remember as a brotherhood. If we fail to remember this, we're going to have exactly what the scriptures talk about here today, division. That's why it is so critical for us to understand this. You may wonder, why did I have this up here? I want all of you to be able to see this. What does 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2 say? Elsie, why don't you read it to us? Loud and clear. We thank God for you, and we pray for you. Now, you know what I want you to do this week? This is a suggestion. I want you to take this reference right here and text it to each other. Only do it when you mean it. Only do it when you mean it in your heart. Do not text this reference to somebody that you cannot honestly say this to. I want you to take this reference, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. All I want you to do is take this reference and text it around to each other as brothers and sisters in this brotherhood. When you can in your heart say, I thank God for you. That's powerful. That's very powerful. That's the way God wants us to operate. I thank God for you. If you don't have the young folks' phone numbers, get their numbers. Get their phone numbers so you can text this to the young folks. You text each other this reference this week, or next week, or in a year from now, once you can from your heart say, this is where I am. I just want to bless all of you today. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, God. We're so indebted to your word. Your word is truth. Your word is powerful. Your word has no ending, no beginning. It's eternal. And Father, we're here today to truly bless you and honor you as we have shared these scriptures today. As we go through life, may we bless each other truly from our heart, thanking and praying for each other, thanking you and praying for each other. God, you're the Almighty God, and we're here today to truly seek you and honor you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.